Well, my talkers, we got through that nice long weekend off. But don't worry, we've got a good full week ahead of us here. We're going to be down at the Chanhassen Dinner Theaters tomorrow, having a nice remote where you can bring gifts to support the Ronald McDonald House charities and all kinds of great stuff going on this week. But right now, we've got Lori in with a special guest, and we all know who that is by now.
It's Brittany.
Which, if you like it or not, this song is such a banger, by the way.
It is. I heard it over the weekend randomly somewhere, and I was like, I was thinking, where's Brittany?
I know, and then I bust through some wall, and you're like, oh no, the construction.
You know what? I didn't know this until I got home, but I was so happy to hear who won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, yes. He deserved it.
Iman Schumpert, is it Schumpert or Schumpert?
Schumpert, yeah, Schumpert. Yeah, that was cool.
I was like, anyway, every week we talk about Dancing with the Stars, I say, no basketball player has gotten farther, and he just like... He was so good in that height differential. Anyway, I just couldn't have been more thrilled for him.
Yeah,
that he won.
It's nice too, because a lot of like football players and basketball players, they do take ballerina lessons so they can get balance on their feet when they're. I mean, it is like one of those things in sports that it's really cool to see that his athleticism turned into this.
Yeah, and he's the first NBAer, and I mean the height. I think it was a foot different.
Oh, it was huge. Least. Yeah, he was quite taller. Let me see if I can figure out.
The dance they did that was by the movie Us.
Oh my gosh.
It was so good. The finale was amazing, but I'm telling you, go back and watch the dance that was inspired by the movie Us or Them. I was
thinking Us.
Yeah.
Oh, that was incredible.
And the orange jumpsuits and the way like he pulled her up the side of his body. Like, it's so good.
So good.
It's like that kind of where you're like, that's art. Like, that's like modern art. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I know. So I was just, that was just a little aside. I was just like all happy about that. I was like, hey, when I got home.
And I love JoJo too. She's a dancer. So it's like, it's kind of like, all right, of course she's doing well. She's been in dance since she was like 3 years old. Yeah,
right. No, it was just, I was just like, oh, I'm so excited. Sure. I really, even though like, you know, Tyra is the most annoying host ever.
You just have to accept, like, it's one of those things when
the show was so good this year because the people that they had on was really good and they spent some money on production.
I know. It's funny. I always look at Tyra as, like, let's say there's a couple that you love having over and they have a really annoying kid.
Yeah.
You just have to accept it and say, well, we want Bill and Jane over, so we have to accept their little monster.
And obviously, ABC felt like Tom Bergeron. We don't need his quick...
Wittiness
anymore. We just want someone to read the cue card and like try and.
But that's the thing, is like
look as goofy as possible.
Yeah. It's what I liked about Tom is that he kind of like I honestly didn't think I was going to miss him because like he doesn't really, he kind of fades in the back nicely. And you're right, like has little comments, but like Tyra just always wanted the attention on her and it was exhausting.
Yeah. But she would miss because she's not quick footed like that. And that wasn't a natural thing for her. She just had to stick to the cue card. So when the control room, when they screwed with her, when they, you know, she sometimes got off the mark or whatever, but she,
I know,
she didn't make me enjoy the show any less. So
I know, right? Yeah,
I watched every single damn week, and
were into it. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so before a couple days before we left, I went on vacation a few days before Julia did, but we went and saw the House of Gucci.
Yeah,
on I guess it was Thursday the 19th, and then on Friday I wanted to talk about it, and Julia's like, "Oh, it's a media blackout," you know, blah blah blah, and I say something, she goes, "It's a media blackout," and I'm like, "Okay, is Ridley Scott are
gonna bomb in here?"
Yeah, but apparently it's a code. When they say it, you know.
She literally, there was like a countdown till like 4 p.m. on Monday, I think, or Tuesday. She all of a sudden said, "Okay, finally we can talk about the show." Like, she's not a rule breaker.
No. This is why she was the CEO and I was the PR.
Yeah, like you guys, and it's so funny because I like rolling with you guys because I like that we, you know, you guys break rules all the time, but I didn't know that it was just you.
Just me.
That's why, like, you know, you guys get away with so much because you just say, we'll apologize later or whatever. We'll live our lives or not apologize. And I like that. I like that. Like, whatever. And I found out, Julia.
She
left her own device. We'd wear helmets. We'd walk only certain ways in the hallway.
She is like the most amazing CEO. And people think, will go, she can't pronounce words or this or that.
No, she's a rule
follower. A very disciplined.
Yeah.
She's
organized.
A Virgo.
Yeah.
She's a Virgo.
Yeah.
Beyonce is a Virgo. Okay. People who are Virgos are, they just have their act together when it comes to business, having their act together, blah blah blah.
It's so fun. It's night and day being on the show with you guys.
Yes,
too.
And I am like, you know, she was like, when we first were, you know, coming up with the nipple thing, and I was working at Sun Country, and she was working at whatever the one and only year that we didn't ever not work together. Because then eventually I got, you know, told my boss at Sun Country, you need to hire this woman,
and he
did. And she launched the Sun Country credit card. But, she's like, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm doing all this hard work of getting, you know, finding an engineer and applying for a patent, this and that. And I said, I'm going to do market research, which for me involved going to bars and asking
I'm sure was
strangers
exhausting.
In the bathroom if they would give my wax nipples a spin out, you know, wherever we were. And come back and tell me, you know, what they thought about him. And then I said, and then I'll do all the PR. I'll get him on set. She goes like, what? And I go, no, this is in 2000.
Yeah.
And she's like what? Because we're putting in $27,000, you know? And I'm like thinking, okay, 27 divided by 3, you know, that's like, okay. If we lose it, I mean, I just sit there, I go, I'll get on Sex in the City. How about that?
Yeah.
And she's like, you better. And, you know, and
I'm telling you, every time I come in to do this show, she has a straight up, do we have anything to talk about? And I'm always like, Julia, like we'll be fine. You and I are kind of similar in the way that like, we'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Julia, do we have anything to talk about? Do we have
Did you do your homework?
Did you bring anything to the table? And I'm like, yes, I have things. You know what I mean? It's just so funny. I think everybody loops you guys or like, you know, bunches you guys up as the same person. And it is night and day.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, well, did she tell you what
she said? Similar to what you were saying is that you tell us, you give us the rundown of what you thought about House of Gucci.
Okay. I mean, like Holly posted today, this great, all the costume details on Gucci. It was really fabulous. And, you know, some of the acting, like I really was like, I loved Jeremy Irons. There were a lot of characters to keep up with in the story. Okay?
With similar names, right?
Yes. Jared Leto played this one Gucci, the lazy Gucci kid,
the brother,
Gucci. And then Al Pacino was the brother of the one Gucci who started all the Gucci. It was confusing the way they did it. And, I would say it was too camp to be serious.
Yeah.
And too serious to be camp. I don't know. Like, it was just, I enjoyed it. But afterwards, I was just, and I really loved Adam Driver. I was getting I was fanning myself. I thought, oh, I do hope those glasses come back in style.
I know, he's so
hot. That whole look of that and his hair. And Lady Gaga is a triple threat. She's an actress. She is a singer. You know, I mean, she's
everything.
She's a Barbra Streisand in that way. You know, she can do it all. And, but I just thought, I don't know... if people are going to think it's a great movie.
This is very similar to what Julia was saying. She, you know, I love fashion and I love seeing, I mean, I'll watch Project Runway just the beginning and the end so I can see the, you know. And she was like, you'll like it. I don't know if Justin would. Like, I don't know if it has enough plot to rely on that if you're not that into visually what's going on, if it's going to carry. And I thought you said a similar thing where it was enjoyable for you. You don't know if everyone would recommend
it. Graham, what did it get on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics? And because sometimes, I mean, critics, the thing is, here's what I was interested, because one of the things that I had forgotten about until I went to see House of Gucci is, Gucci hired Tom Ford in 1990 or whatever year it was and completely glamorized Gucci, whereas before it had gotten stuffy.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like, and so he's, Tom Ford is in a bit of the movie. So Tom Ford writes a review, if you will, for Graydon Carter, who used to be the longtime editor at Vanity Fair, for his Airmail. Mm-hmm. He wrote an essay about watching House of Accents. I mean, House of Gucci, because there really
oh,
it is.
I'm sure.
There's a lot of different accents. Yeah. What's it getting on Rotten?
84 for the audience score and 62 for the tomato meter. So that's a good, you know, that makes me, I'd see it on based on those numbers.
Yeah, I know. Like, Casey would never watch this movie. Yeah. He would not have any interest. But Tom Ford said that it was the equivalent to the nighttime soap Dynasty for subtlety, and he couldn't tell if he was watching her real movie or Saturday Night Live. He liked this movie more than he liked Amal Clooney wearing pants at the Get Mala. But here's what Tom wrote. I often laughed out loud, but was I supposed to? At times when Al Pacino as Aldo Gucci and Jared as his son Paolo were on screen, I thought I was maybe watching an SNL version. And he said it's, we identify with no one. And he said the casting of Salma Hayek was wonderful, but he said for several days after I watched The House of Gucci, and I think only those of us who knew the players and the player will feel, it was hard for me to see the humor and camp in something that was so bloody. In real life, none of it was camp. And at the end of the day, it's a sad story what happened to The House of Gucci. So he doesn't feel good about it. And the Gucci family today in Italian put out a statement, and they said it is far from accurate and it's insulting the legacy of the brand Gucci. Ooh. They're very upset.
Yes.
All right. Listen, we got to go. It's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hello, Holly.
Welcome back, Lori.
Thank you so much. Nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it happened.
Four days off.
What
did you watch?
I watched Get Back, the Beatles documentary on Disney Plus.
Was it so great?
It really was. It is an amazing piece of filmmaking. Now, I will preface it. It's like 8 hours long in three parts.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, Holly, I'll watch 8 episodes of Bosch in like 5 days.
Yeah, and it is a vibe movie. And by vibe movie being that, yes, there is a light narrative arc to it, because the story of Get Back is that this is the footage that was taken when the Beatles got together. And it ultimately made their Let It Be film, and it crescendoed with the rooftop concert. And it's the story of that 3 weeks in the life of the Beatles.
That Peter Jackson got permission to go through, like, they filmed that whole 3 weeks nonstop?
Well, yeah, because they were going to make a movie out of that. And, well, you see the evolution of the project. And so this footage had been in the can, and it hadn't been accessed by the public. But Peter Jackson spent, I think, about 4 years going through this footage.
OMG.
Digitizing it. And let me tell you, this is the closest that you will ever get to hanging out with the Beatles. It is so real. What they have done with this footage, it is like you're just jamming with the band at Twickenham Studio.
Can we smell the cigarettes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can be like, John, honey, time to take a shower. You're looking a little you're looking a little greasy over there, and I can tell.
Yeah.
And so it is hanging out. It's witnessing the creative process, seeing them work it out, because that was a pretty tumultuous time in their band, you know, and it's not, no spoiler alerts here. George quit.
Yeah.
And you see the conversations that led to him quitting.
Wow.
And you can see where they are in the band, the dynamic. They had lost their manager, Brian Epstein. They're like, without a father figure, what are we going to do? You can kind of see them working through that, the evolution of the project.
And is this 68 or what year is this?
January 1969.
69. So everyone's got long hair and they don't look like the Fab Five or Four or whatever they were.
No, they're very groovy at this point. But what's fascinating about it is that when you watch the Beatles, they are of time, but they are not in that time, meaning that their presence on film and captured in this way, the way that Peter Jackson has restored this footage, they transcend time. And you are just there witnessing this creative process unfold.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it.
Going from a riff
to working with the band and then jamming out. And then ultimately, when you hear that final version, you're like, that's the one that made the record. Oh. And that's it. I mean, I will say, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and mm-hmm. I did get emotional at the end when they did the rooftop concert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it was just like you were intimately involved in the process of the Beatles making this at the end. It was just, it's such a beautiful thing to watch. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, you can, if you're just a casual observer, maybe you want to like just kind of pick and choose where you want to go, but recommend maybe that you just hang out and you vibe with them.
Now, yeah.
Did either of you guys see Peter Jackson's World War One documentary?
Oh,
They Shall Not Grow Old.
Casey and Donnie Love watched it and just said it was the most incredible show.
Well, that's what has happened mm-hmm. with Get Back, is mm-hmm. that the footage from They Shall Not Grow Old, which is Peter Jackson's documentary about World War One, the way that you are able to get into time, I think it does such a service to the way that you will interpret events and what mm-hmm. is happening. And then you're like, okay, well, and then the Beatles are also just regular dudes who are having cocktails and reading the gossip rags about themselves and making
right.
fun of it.
Right.
That's what it...
Was well, Yoko, at, was she hanging around? Was she part of this?
Yes.
She was like the one person that was there. Did any of the other guys have their wives or girlfriends?
Yeah, everybody makes everybody an appearance. Did. So Yoko's okay. just chilling. She's hanging out. She's all knitting. Right. She's working through okay. paper. She did not break up the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that. Also, yeah. they jam with her. Like right. she's doing vocals. Paul's on the drums and whatever. They're, you know, she's kind of integrated into that. Yes, Brittany. Mm-hmm.
No, I just said, what a cool thing for you, Holly. I mean, like, if you're a Beatles fan, to be able to, like, feel a part of this, I think that is such a unique, cool thing.
And thank goodness they were filming
it. I know,
it,
and that's what I was watching clips of it. I haven't seen it. I don't have Disney Plus. I probably won't ever see it. But, like, I was watching clips of it, and it almost seems like it can't be real because the camera, I mean, and I know it is, but it's like, everything looks so amazing, and you're right. It must feel like you're a part of them.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, if you're not even a fan of the Beatles or a super fan, if you're a casual observer, this as a historical artifact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would be cool to see Yoko just hanging out and things like that. I mean, and even just the fashion.
I love
right?
any musical documentary. Fine, if it's I'll good watch it. And if it's really good, like, you know, this, I'm going to have to watch
yeah, it. Yeah. It's just a vibe. Yeah. So, you know, set aside some time. Luckily, Get Back is in three parts. Mm-hmm. Each part is about 2.5 hours okay. long, yeah. but the music is there. And like, you know, when Billy Preston arrives and the change of the band and the talent that these people yeah. have, you know, he shows up and they're like, hey, why don't you like riff here?
Brittany, I hope Taylor Swift is taping a lot of her stuff.
Well, she had all that All Americana.
Oh, that was good.
And it was so good. So I do think there's a part of me that's like, yeah, I'd probably like this. Yeah. I do like a good music doc when it's done well and it sounds mm-hmm. like it's done well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is very much, you are watching time unfold in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way that Miss Americana definitely had a narrative structure yeah, to it. Yeah. This does.
This was just, they were just raw footage taping this.
Yeah.
He had to make this.
Yes, he had to sit through all 60 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Then whittle it down to 8.5 hours, then redigitize it, then like go through and, you know, you can see where, you know, maybe some of the audio wasn't quite captured in right. a way that, but you can see that, but just like, What a gift.
Yeah.
You know, what a filmmaking gift if you want, really, literally, like, want to travel through time.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I bet a lot of, like, you know, moms and dads might be getting, like, an Apple subscription, you know, as a just a gift. Here, Mom.
Or the Disney Plus.
Or Disney Plus, excuse me, so that people can watch it.
I know, because it's funny. I saw a clip of...
That's the only streaming service I don't have.
I know, right? That's what I don't... Because I don't, you know, we don't have kids, so it doesn't feel necessary. Yeah. But I saw a clip that I was cracking up because it's in Disney Plus. Is I can't remember who, but somebody pulled out. It was going to be, I don't know, some sort of paraphernalia. And they're like, hey, we're recording. And so they put it back in their pocket.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is weird. It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They put, you know, a warning in front of it being like language, smoking, other things. Well, because at the time, they were actively using drugs.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily see it explicitly on camera.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, John Lennon was had a heroin issue at that time, and there are other things going on, but you get to see the real deal. And by the way, They Shall Not Grow Old is streaming for free on Tubi.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So. Tubi is kind of where it's at.
Right? Yeah, so there you go.
All right, Holly, thank you.
That was
really just an in-depth dirt alert.
That's right.
We appreciate it. You know, we're going to be at the Chan tomorrow. Santa stop. So we'll be talking on the phone as usual.
Bring those toys.
Okay.
Let's talk about sex for now.
Well, yes, I always
deliver.
I try. I really try. I have a libidinous mind.
We're very thankful for it.
And I love it dearly. Yes.
Now, if I said to you in a sentence, are you going to pre-bait before you go out on your date? Would you know what I would be speaking of?
I would assume you mean take care of myself so I'm not running on that motivation.
That is exactly right.
That's what I would have thought.
Is that what you would have thought too?
It's kind of like what I actually do, which is sometimes I eat before we go to a restaurant. Right. So I don't seem so, when are we getting to table? When are we going to table? Order now. Like, it's kind of the same concept.
Yeah. So, and I just said, you know, people are going back, you know, people are dating again.
Yeah.
They might be sharing vaccination status before they're really dating. But yeah, so maybe we're back to pre-baiting, which is basically masturbating before a date in order to gain mental clarity or confidence.
The classic scene from Something About Mary.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I needed some hair gel. Can I grab some of that real quick?
Yeah.
I do think that there is something you need to watch out for. Like a man, it's probably helpful. Sometimes with a woman, though, it gets it started. You know what I mean? Like because of the availability to have many over and over. It's something that if I did, I might be a little bit too over the top. Like, I might...
Know thyself.
Exactly.
Before you pre-bait, okay?
I just wanted to talk about it. Like, I do think it's more of something that is helpful for men than women.
Listen, it can clear your mind.
Yeah.
It can eliminate nervousness. It you can get a post-orgasmic glow.
Yeah.
So if you're a woman, for God's sakes, pre-bait with all your makeup on.
Right.
The hair gel scene. Oh my God. But I mean, the benefits of pre-baiting for all genders is obvious, because if you're meeting up with a problematic ex, or a bleep boy or a bleep girl, as it were, that you want to be able to show some restraint around, where this person is your panty dropper or whatever, you know, it might stop you from making unwise hormone-fueled decisions. And then, you know, if you're meeting the person of your dreams, maybe you'll impress them without the hindrance of horn dog haziness.
That's
maybe
true.
You know, it can keep you cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
This is true. I think, know thyself for sure.
Yeah.
And also, I agree.
So just, you know, just getting that out there to remind people about it, because people might be out of practice or whatever, that don't forget about the old
pre-bait. Guys, when you go on a date, like you said, it lowers the nerves throughout the date, and then it also maybe gives you some stamina for later.
Yes, exactly.
Don't hesitate to pre-bait.
There you go. Now, if I said to you in a sentence, are you a humiliatrix? Would you know what I'd be talking
about?
I'm
scared I do. Is this something that, like, it's kind of like a dominatrix, but it's just humiliating somebody?
That is exactly right.
I'm scared of myself right now.
Yeah. This is like my relationship on both levels, both of them.
There you go.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a very simple thing to be a humiliatrix if you're comfortable. Again, know thyself.
Yeah, and know thy partner.
You
pull this out and there is no talk.
Like any dominatrix, a humiliatrix has to accept nothing but utter obedience
and
unrelenting servility from their little bottoms.
I think I'm just going to pull this out of nowhere on Justin and see how it works out.
Yeah.
I'll report back.
Yeah, you useless baby.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my God. He literally just like look at me and probably tear up and be like, why?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah. I mean, there are men, though, who or women who get up on erotic humiliation. I feel like maybe more men.
I think so. I mean,
100% well, on the erotic humiliation.
I don't know how many times I have been, you know, doing like, the, you know, the dating or the pre-dating or whatever, and you're kind of messaging and you get a hint of that and you're like, oh, I see what you like.
Yeah.
I see, like, you want me. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't, I'm not going to do that. That's what I mean. You don't mind being a humiliatrix?
I mean, I don't mind to an extent. I wouldn't want it, not in the moment, but there are some things like, if that's your thing, that's pretty easy. I want to make fun of you anyway. So if it's going to help both of us, great. Yeah.
But what, you know, like, I'm talking about like penis shaming. Are you comfortable with that?
No. I would feel terrible.
That's a little bit more.
I think anything.
This is the kind of a thing a humiliatrix does.
I gotta tell you something, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So, this is when I was a senior in high school and I was dating this guy and he was a lovely guy or whatever. And we've been dating for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We were messing around and we were watching, what's the movie? The Sandlot. And we're about to get to the part where the kid says, you're killing me, Smalls. And so I say it, but he's not paying attention to the movie. So he thinks I just said that to him.
To him.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Mm-hmm.
And he shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Shut down. Like, I just said that. Like, I was like, no, it's the movie. And he's like, it doesn't matter. We're done now. Like,
yeah.
It literally.
But Brittany, think about it. You may have set him off on a path.
I know.
He was looking for humiliatrix. He wants someone to shame his penis.
He has to now.
Now he needs it to grow.
Oh, great.
Oh, geez. Look at you.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Lord. I do not think anyone else on this radio station has had this conversation.
You're welcome.
Ever.
You're welcome, World.
Love
Love
it.
Yeah, just
and that's like one of my like tamer stories.
Right.
But like it was so bad. Also,
but I mean, is there any way for us to find out if you know?
Like, it was so. He has a kid now. It seems like he's doing well. I hope.
Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe they have their thing figured out.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad. I literally was like, "All right, just left." Like, okay. I was like, "Don't you know the Sandlot enough?" I was almost ashamed for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad we had this talk.
Yeah. I'm so glad you shared that story. Yeah,
I am too.
Thank you.
So glad I
full participant
up.
In Sex Monday.
Yeah, erotic humiliation.
You know, I've accidentally done it. I've accidentally participated, which is like the story of my life.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I know it. That it is really something to just sit and ponder. Have you been a part of an erotic humiliation by accident for real? Do you have a side gig hustle to be a humiliatrix?
It's one thing in the beginning of a relationship or just even a hookup, you know, like that can get real like dicey and embarrassing.
Oh,
but after 6 years, you have a little fun, you poke some fun, it kind of brings a little laughter into the situation.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, like there's times, though, I don't know how many times where I've been with somebody where they say something where you just go, If I knew I was going to date this person for longer, which usually I'm not going to, I'm like, I should inform them that I find that hilarious. Like, that's the first thing you immediately go to your girlfriends and go, do you know what this guy said to me? And it's like, it takes you out of the moment so bad.
Right.
But it's so funny and you can't laugh. Like, there are so many times you can tell somebody's testing the waters with something and you just want to be like, if I knew this was going to be a thing that's probably more than four times, I would inform you that, like, not my thing.
Right.
But it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm going to let you call me baby BB or something weird or whatever.
Right,
like,
right. Because it's starting out casually every time, basically. We're not thinking, we're thinking it's no strings attached.
I know. We're like,
Which is why most people had the most hookups in their life at age 27.
Yeah.
Supposedly, about that age.
Which is funny because it's probably the most you're insecure. Even though your body's the best, you're probably the most insecure. So one of those weird things, those shaming, might go hardcore wrong.
Yeah, I mean, in this survey that this is in the, Sex Journal? I can't read my own writing. Anyway, 43% of Americans, now this is a new millennial, have an accident in the middle of hooking up with somebody.
An accident?
Exited.
Oh, exited.
In the middle of hooking up with someone.
Oh,
after realizing they weren't compatible, maybe while you were getting, somebody shames your penis when and you realize this is not what I was looking for, lady.
Yeah, when they quote a movie. Yeah.
Or the baby talk. You just get you up and leave. You just leave.
Yeah, I want to find the person, though, that's like, that's going to bother them enough not to finish. Like, right. I mean, like, come on. I can move through that for a few more minutes and get into
it. Right. And then in here.
We can have that conversation afterwards.
They have what we call standards, which on us three do not, obviously. No, so
we're finishing.
Yeah, I'm. If I'm here, if I'm committed, that's fine.
Oh, my.
I'll get my Uber later.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, all right.
Good Sex Monday.
Yeah, I don't think we can do any better than that. We might as well just start on over on the other side of this. Yeah,
I love it.
All right. We'll be right back.
Also, don't forget, Lori and Julia will be broadcasting live tomorrow from the Chanhassen Dinner Theaters for the Santa Project. Bring your gifts so that we can get them to all the kids and families at the Ronald McDonald House Charities.
Yes, we're so excited. I can't believe it. That it's, and Julia will be back tomorrow.
Yeah,
we haven't been there since November of 2019.
You guys are going to have so much fun.
Yeah. So it'll really be fun.
And I know.
Yeah, we like going there and it will be so cute in there and everything. And
they always
make us feel welcome and give us like appies and, you know, drinks. And they just, yeah, it's cozy.
Nice. It's so cool. It's I love cozy, that place. Cozy.
Okay, I just have to bring you up to date on off the air conversation, just as a little continuation of Sex Monday. Mm-hmm. I said, Grant, you know, Brittany and I have been talking about it, and there are some things that would make you run out of the middle of hooking up with somebody.
You decided there's one thing that you're going to draw the line on, and I'm actually proud of you. I'm going to jump on that board too and say, I'm going to also draw the line
Me too.
Yeah, there are certain things, and the funniest one was my, like, a girl, a friend, we've been friends since 10th grade. And when we were like, I don't know, maybe 25, 24, you know, prime, really getting around, agreeing to everything, experiencing everything. I remember she called me and she's like, I had to leave. I had to leave in the middle.
And you're like dying to
know. I'm like, what?
Tell me everything.
He wanted me to put a diaper on. And I'm like, diaper man,
it's so wild. Do you know what I can't even get over?
How I said yes. You need to leave a man who wants you to put on a diaper, and we'd laugh and laugh about it. And the biggest thing was she left a good pair of shoes behind.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
She was so like just flipping out.
Yeah.
That was the best part. You tell me the story off air, and then you're like, and Grant, she left some good shoes behind, too. You must have really been uncomfortable to leave those good shoes behind.
Oh, yeah. No, you were just like, it was like...
And never go back.
Yeah, no.
I mean, for me, it depends on the shoes. Let's be honest.
No.
For her, there was no drawing that line. There was line drawing, for sure.
This was a redheaded woman. Not that that means anything, but I'm just saying that like sometimes I think, okay, it's a theory, I'll just say it, redheaded women get really a lot of pick of action.
I think so. I think also people associate it with adventure.
Grant, I know you're a redheaded, ginger-haired man, but I think it's different. I think
for women.
For women, yes. It is such a, like, you know, I don't know why.
It's a rarity. They're very more scarce.
Even though nobody's got hair anymore.
I know, but when you see a good-looking redheaded woman, that's funny you say that. Yeah. My friends and I'd be like, oh, she'd just stand out like a golden eagle in a bar.
So in my trio of friends, we had a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. So we called ourselves the candy store.
Of course.
And,
of course you did.
Yeah, of course we did. And yes, we usually let the redhead lead.
I'm sure.
The way.
And I think people associate redheads with like fiery, more adventurous. Yeah. So she probably saw some stuff.
Yeah, no. Anyway, so funny.
The diaper thing blows my mind. I can't get over the fact of like how big the diaper would have to be for like a big old grown man. Like, it, where does he store those? You know what I mean? Like,
Brittany, no one in the moment. You're horny. Okay, the guy's hot. You're hot.
Yeah.
You're both hot. He's like the same age. You had no idea. Yeah, no one is wondering any of these things.
The idea of that casually. She jumped
like he'd thrown hot water, you know, up in the air or something. She was like,
I need the logistics. Like, it's just wild. Yeah. Like, I mean, that word comes up and it's like, she left shoeless.
Yeah.
if you and your girls were around back in the day, this is your aunt. This would have been your aunt. I'll take
you to the candy shop. Oh, yeah.
That would have been you and your girls just walking together, boots high. Just no.
I mean, this is no news to any group of girls.
No. And it's no news to know that you were part of what you would say a candy shop. Nobody here is shocked.
No.
I'm impressed and I love it.
Yeah. You know who I was impressed of the cover that just made me? I made Holly post it twice because I'm sure she posted it last week because she knows how much we love Keanu Reeves.
I love Keanu
and
Reeves.
So he's on the cover of the November issue of Esquire magazine.
Nice.
And we do read a lot of magazine, you know, interviews, in-depth things. But this was just, he is an unknowable enigma that everyone loves. He is an action star monk.
Yeah.
Of just, and the story. I mean, this was such a good interview. All the women that tell stories, like I forgot that he and Martha Plimpton were really good friends. And she tells a story. We just liked each other. We were friends. We had a good time. We went to Disney World. We took road trips. We danced to Michael Jackson's album Off the Wall in our trailer together. We just liked each other.
How do you not fall in love with him? Like, as any, like, you know, because he has got a lot of female friends that talk about how great he is.
Oh.
How do you not, if somebody's dancing
Martha
with
Martha Plimpton
you,
talks about that. Sandra Bullock talks about, like, that, about that.
Like, you talk about him, and if somebody, you know, I mean, if you have such a good friendship, you guys are dancing, going to Disney, going on road trips.
Tripsing, dancing.
And you're that attractive. I would fall madly in love with I don't get it. He's so unproblematic. I just love him.
Winona Ryder, Diane Keaton, Carrie Ann Moss. I mean, he's a workaholic Zen monk.
I know. I love
him. We're not worthy. He's the only movie star of the era, you know, and I put Clooney, Pitt, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That hasn't disappointed us.
And they carry that swag.
Yeah.
That's just unmatchable.
And then he says in this, we can always do more. There's no ceiling on that.
I love
him. Anyway, he's really wonderful.
The suit he's wearing, his hair on that cover.
Oh,
I'm glad
so
you posted
good.
It twice.
Thank you. On his friend River Phoenix, he said it's weird speaking about him in the past. I hate speaking about him in the past. So I almost always got to keep it present. He is a really special person. So original, unique, smart, talented, thoughtful, brave, and funny and dark. It was great to have known him, too. He was just inspirational, and I still miss him.
I mean, I know.
Yeah. So, anyway, he wants people to know that we can always do more. There's no ceiling on that. Talking about empathy and... Anyway, it was a really good interview and really great pictures. And I loved the Sandra Bullock mentioned she'd told him once she'd never had champagne and truffles. So one day he stopped by her house with champagne and truffles.
Of course he did.
Like, how do you not fall in love with
and
that?
And she did the combination while painting his fingernails black.
How do you not fall madly in love? Because did she have a crush or did he have a crush or did they both? And
they had a crush, but they didn't act on it.
I'm sorry. That is the saddest thing because, like, they should have children.
She always maintained that getting together would have ruined their great friendship. But who knows what? But she says maybe we could have survived. But I just think that
they were young too.
Yeah.
Young.
We all wanted them to get together after Speed, though.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, they did.
Gum.
Yeah. Gum, my shoe.
Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys have an epic time. Have fun at Chanhassen tomorrow.
We will. Thanks, Grant. See you guys tomorrow.
Bye, Britt.
Job done. Off you go.